Johnson.
And he's going to bring the word for us.
Yeah, I am. Well, good morning. That's pretty good for a kind of cool, rainy day. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of winter. I'm ready for summer to get here. And I believe the dress code ought to be T-shirt, blue jeans, tennis shoes. That's what our dress code ought to be during the summertime and everything. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. Don't get your hopes up. I cannot play a single instrument. I can't even sing. One church I was in, we bought new hymnals, and they gave everybody a white one and gave me a black one. So I cannot sing a lick. But I'm glad to be here with you. I'm glad to share God's word with you. Great music this morning. Young people did a great job. Great job this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and opportunity to share God's word with God's people. Father, speak to us. Give us insight. Give us wisdom. But Father, lay upon our heart that we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to you and to your word. We need to put your word into practice into our lives, that we may become the people that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a good friend of mine. He passed away a couple years ago of cancer. His name was Ken Sparks. He's head football coach at Carson Newman University over in East Tennessee. At the time of his retirement, he was the fifth winningest coach in college football. 37 seasons, 338 wins, 99 losses. He had one of the highest winning percentages in the country. He was number 13 to win over 300 football games. What an outstanding career. But at his retirement, this is what he said. He said, after 47 years, this is hard. But the mission hasn't changed, guys. He says, my mission has not changed. He says, what is my mission? He says, it should be all our mission. And that is to honor and glorify the God who created us and has big plans for us and is trying to do something unbelievable things through us. And that's what I want to continue to do. A great career, a great football career. But his focus was always on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. At his retirement, he wasn't looking behind all the things that he accomplished, and they were many. But what he was doing, he was looking forward to doing what God has called him to do, and that was share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said the same thing in Scripture. And he said it like this in Philippians 3, 13, 14. He says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. He says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. I believe what Paul is saying, we need to keep on keeping on. Our goal and prize for our lives is what God has called us to do. And we are not to let anything anything keep us from that calling? Why? Because we have not laid hold of it yet. Paul points out in the Scripture, he says, looking back, he makes this point, looking back can keep us from going forward. He says, but one thing I do, he says, I forget what lies behind. Paul's not saying never look back, but don't look back in a way that will keep you from moving forward. We all look back from time to time, don't we? You know, time to time we run across people, events, things said that flashes us back to yesteryear. A couple years ago, we moved. Moved to another house, and part of my job was to clean out the garage. My wife said, it's all your junk out there. But as I cleaned it out, about 90% of it wasn't mine. I was going through these boxes and I was looking through there and everything. And I ran across my old annual. And I was supposed to be busy cleaning out the garage. I took time to look through that old annual. And man, I started reminiscing about the old times and things and people that I've kind of forgot about. And then I realized, man, I got to get busy here. I got to get this done. And I want to tell you, at one point in my life, I had hair, I got proof. There can be value in looking back if we learn from it. Frederick Buechner's book, The Sacred Journey, he makes this comment. He says, it is mainly for some clue to where I am going that I search through where I've been. For some hint as to who I am becoming or failing to become, that I delve into what used to be. What a great saying. What a great thing. But if we're not careful, there can be things that come up in our life that will keep us from moving forward. Past experiences that we have with our families can keep us from moving forward. Past experiences with individuals. What about the places that we work at can keep us moving forward? And folks, on top of that, churches can keep people from moving forward. You realize that? And all these things keep holding us back, and bitterness and regret and jealousy and resentment can crop up into our lives. And if we're not careful, we can be consumed by what has happened. And the joy of today and tomorrow and the future is gone. I like for us this morning to look at three areas in our lives that can keep us from going forward. Past sins and past sins of others. Past memories. And the last I like to cover with you is past accomplishments. Can keep us from moving forward. Even Paul had sin in his life. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among who I am foremost of all. Sometimes I say, I'm the chief of sinners. You remember Paul, don't you? When he was Saul. He felt like it was his duty to persecute the church. He would drag people out of their houses. He would throw entire families into prisons. And if murder was called for, he was for that too. You remember Stephen, don't you? He watched everybody's coats while he encouraged everybody to stone Stephen to death. And even when he became Christian, he wasn't perfect then. But through the grace of God, he was forgiven. You know, folks, we're forgiven. I've done a lot of counseling in my lifetime, and people are trapped by their sin, thinking that God can never forgive them of their sin. Let me just share some scripture. This is not what I say. This is what God says. In Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Listen, God's Word's all through this that He's wanting to forgive us. Listen to Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Listen to God's words. Listen to Him. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." People, as I read God's Word, those of us washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Look what He does with our sins. And I'm giving you a lot of Scripture because it's God's words that will change your life, not me. Not me. Not my words. Psalms 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us." We're saved. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Satan's going to tell you you're not. Because if he can hold you in your past, and then your present, and into your future, he will destroy you. I had a friend of mine. We grew up together. We both got drafted at the same time. Taking back several years, Vietnam was going on big time then. He got accepted. I had too many football injuries. I said, "Man, you can't do it." But he goes, and in between time, I get married, and we have a little apartment. One day, I heard a knock at my door, and it was him back from Vietnam. He sat for hours and hours in our little apartment, just talking, weeping, crying, sharing things that had happened in Vietnam, sharing things that he had taken part of. What he was doing, he was looking for forgiveness. And folks, listen to me. Only Jesus Christ can give you forgiveness. I can't give you forgiveness. But Jesus came. Go to Him. Share with Jesus where you are in your life. He's there wanting to forgive. Poor Bobby, I could not help him escape from the things that had happened. But Jesus can. What about forgiving others? In David Seaman's book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, he makes this statement, and I have found it true in my ministry, and I have found it true in so many churches. It's everywhere, folks. Listen to what he says. It says, two major causes for most emotional problems among Christians now are these. The failure to understand and receive and live out God's grace and forgiveness. And two, the failure to give that unconditional love and forgiveness and grace to other people. You believe that, folks? It is so true. In Nathaniel Hawthorne's book, The Scarlet Letters, maybe some of you have read it. It's a great book, a classic. This woman was, and it was during the time of the 1700s, and this woman had committed an adultery. And for her punishment, every day she had to go and stand on this platform. And as people would pass by her, they would yell insults at her. And part of her punishment was that she had to wear this scarlet letter A on her outfit. The whole book deals with this, that no forgiveness. People would not forgive her for what had taken place in her life. They could not and would not forgive. You know, folks, I've lived long enough, I know that when we're unable to forgive, the problem becomes ours, not theirs. We can never become all that God has called us to be until we can receive and give forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ Jesus has also forgiven you. You might ask, what can I do with these past memories that I have? You know, time and events in our life, both good and bad, seem to play over and over in our mind, doesn't it? We just can't get away from them. I like visitation. Most churches don't do that much anymore. I love going out and visiting with people. Especially people that haven't been in the church for years, and if you check your church roll, you got a bunch of them. Right? And during that visit with them, I sit down, I get to the point, why aren't you in church anymore? They said, well, I've had a bad experience. I'm a pastor. Congratulations, I had about one a week. We all have bad experiences. Let me share a painful memory with you. It happened when I was in seminary, and I'm not going to share about myself. I was in Hebrew history class. And we had this young girl come in. She was going to share her testimony with us. She was a converted Jew. And she was at our seminary, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And she started sharing her testimony. She went off to college, and her roommate happened to be a Christian. And this girl was sharing with her and sharing with her and sharing with her. And eventually she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And like most people, they want to, when they get saved, they want to share it with somebody else. And she called her parents. Said, "Mom, Dad, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." So there was silence over the phone, and parents didn't say nothing. Says, "Mom, Dad, I'll be home in a couple of weeks." So she makes the journey home. She jumps out of her car like most college students. Runs up to the front door and she sticks her key in the door and it doesn't work. She knocks on the door, nobody comes, said, "Well, maybe my parents kind of got the time mixed up when I was supposed to be home," everything. She goes and knocks on the door again and no answer. She goes around to the garage. On her tiptoe, she looks through the garage door and looking over into the garage, and both cars are there. She said, "I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're asleep," she said. And then she goes back to the door and she starts knocking on that door again. Nothing happens. She rings the doorbell. Nothing happens. She keeps beating on the door, keeps beating on the door. And then all of a sudden the door is jerked open. And there stands her dad in the doorway. Said, "Dad, I'm home." He said, "Beg your pardon? It's me. Your daughter." He said, "My daughter's dead." And with that, he slams the door in her face. She don't know what to do. She goes over to a friend of her house, their house there, and she sits down and says, "Man, I don't know what happened. I went home," and she told the whole story. She says, "Yes," says, "you know, when you told your dad that you became a Christian, he considered you dead." Said, "No, that's not right. It can't be." She said, "Come with me." They get in the car. They drive to a cemetery. They get out. They walk through the cemetery, and they come to a plaque, a thing right there, and it's got her name on it. The day she became a Christian, her parents considered her dead. A Jewish background. You know, that's a bad memory, isn't it? And that was enough to discourage anybody. But you know where she is? She's in our seminary, studying God's Word. So she can lead other people to Jesus Christ. You know, perhaps you got bad memories. And it's hard to turn off those memories, I know. But man, if you go to Jesus Christ, He can bring healing. It brought healing in her life. Confess your helplessness. Turn to Him, and He will give you peace. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, past accomplishments can keep us from moving forward. If we're not careful, we can become content and satisfied. Too many churches today are trying to live off the past, and they are starving to death. You believe that? A church should never allow the past to dictate the future. God is doing a new work. Isaiah 43:19 says that I am doing this. God talked to us, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it, he's saying? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Folks, I don't know if you've looked around lately, but we are in a wasteland. We are in a wasteland. Our faith should be an expecting faith. Let me ask you, how did you come to church this morning? How did you come to church this morning? Did you get up early? Did you pray for the services today? Did you get your family up and dressed and everybody fed? Did you say, man, we get to go to church today, it is Sunday? Did you get here early? So you wouldn't miss anything? Or did you say this morning, wake up, honey, we've overslept again. Are the kids still asleep? I don't know where your shoes are. Look for them. Just eat it in the car. Honey, can we be just 10 minutes late this morning? How did you come to church this morning? How did you come to church this morning? You know, one of my ministry responsibilities in the church was to staff it with workers. Have you ever had to do that? Seek people out to work in the church. Do you know how hard that is? You run across all the used-to-be's. You know who they are, don't you? Well, I used to work in Sunday school. I used to do church training. We don't have church training anymore, but we used to say, or I used to go out visiting. I used to witness. And you try and recruit people to fulfill the jobs in the church. Listen, I've been turned down more than the ugliest boy in the 12th grade looking for a date on prom night. Folks, we got work to do. And people don't want to work anymore. In Hebrews 12, it says 12:1-2, it says that we got a great cloud of witnesses watching us, looking down upon us. Folks, what lies ahead for us as individuals? What lies ahead for us as a church? And folks, I don't know about you, but it's in front of us, it's not behind us. I love history. I love history of the churches, but that's all in the past. It's what's going on now that counts. In Genesis 19, it tells about a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel of the Lord comes to Lot and says, "You know, Lot, you need to get out of town because I'm fixing to burn this place." And Lot gets his family together and they start heading out of town, and Sodom and Gomorrah is kind of in a basin-like thing, and they're going up the hill, and as they're going up the hill, fire rains down upon those two sinful cities. And they burn it to a crisp. And the most unbelievable thing happens. Lot's wife looked back. And the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. She might have left there, but her heart was still in Sodom and Gomorrah. What I'm trying to say here is when you look back, the journey ends. Churches are notorious, and looking back, our future is in front of us. It's not behind us. She turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus said it like this. Luke 9:62 says, "But Jesus said to them, 'No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom.'" What is he saying here? No, if you talk to farmers, they can tell you that a few things. Says if you're going to plow, says what helps you plow a straight line is to put your focus on a tree or a rock or a stump, and you plow straight for that. If you're trying to look back and see how straight your furrows are, they'll always be crooked. You lose your sense of direction. You lose your focus. And what Jesus is applying here is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Not looking back on what we've accomplished in the past, but what is ahead of us. Jesus is saying here, if you're going to make a decision to follow me, then do it. Don't delay in your commitment. Go straight. Straight towards me. He said, don't put one hand on the cross and the other back in the world.
You're looking back. Your furrows are going to be crooked. We're plowing God's land, His property. Don't be unproductive in His kingdom. I ran across a statement in one of Mark Patterson's books. And it's a timely statement. He says this, at some point in our lives, most of us will stop living out of our imagination and start living out of our memories. That's the day that we stop living and start dying. Oh, how true that is. Perhaps here today, you're struggling with past sins, turn them over to Jesus. He's more than capable of handling them. Maybe you're having a problem with forgiveness. Maybe past memories are eating you up. Maybe past accomplishments are standing in your way. Whatever it is, you need to make a decision that you're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus this morning. I'm going to ask our brother to come and stand at the front. If there's decisions to be made, we need to make that today. We need to make it now. I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, open our hearts, our mind, that we're willing to make decisions, Father. We're not going to let past sins drag us down. We're going to be open and willing to forgive others. We're going to put past memories behind us. And Father, we're going to turn to You for the present and the future, that we walk with You. I don't know who all is here today, but Father, if there's the decision to be made, then we need to make it today, not to delay. Oh, Father, speak to us. Talk to us. Lead us, guide us, direct our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.